I'm a multifaceted boss.
I'm a creator boss.
I am a live video boss.
I'm a karate boss.
I am a blog boss.
I am a business boss.
Education boss.
I am a diverse academic boss babe.
She's evolving.
She's determined.
She's a boss.
And this is She's in a Pod.
So welcome back to a new episode of She's in a Pod.
Hey.
We are really excited today because we have a very special guest. Yes, I'm sure most of you know her, but before we introduce our special guest,
yes,
I'm Shadow.
I am Bianca, aka BB.
And I am Jenny.
Yeah.
Cool. And welcome to another episode of She's in a Pod. Episode two, season three. Yes. We hope you enjoyed our first episode. We do again have a part two coming soon.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was so lit. But this episode, we are so honored.
Yeah.
That she would grace us with her presence
and knowledge.
Because she is booked and busy. Okay.
Mate, seriously.
I'm Shadow, can you do the tongue roll, please?
I can't do it, so I have to get
Charlotte to do it on
your behalf.
Yeah. Anyways, we are accompanied by the amazing Kia.
Yeah.
Kia. Now, if you don't know about Kia, she hosts an amazing podcast and platform called Pennies to Pounds, and it's all about financial literacy.
Yeah.
And we had to have her. Like, we love Kia. We had to.
And she makes financial literacy fun. That's what I personally love. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
listen, you. Sometimes you're reading up about this. I'm like, this is not going. It's not going in. But she makes it digestible. And we're gonna let her introduce herself, like talk a little bit about herself. I'm gonna ask her about Pennies to Pounds a little bit. But I just want to say that Pennies to Pounds is an award-winning podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have to
We were so honoured that we were nominated alongside of Kia.
So was honestly. I. When I saw you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing category.
You know, it was the whole category was amazing, actually.
Yeah, it was really good.
But Kia, how are you darling?
I'm all right, thank you.
You good? Yeah. We're good. We're good. Happy that you're here.
Yeah, very happy.
I'm very happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
Please introduce yourself, sis. Yeah. Tell us a bit about you.
What you do.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is like the one point people ask me, like, oh, tell us about yourself. I'm like, I don't know.
What did you say?
So my name's Kia. I am 22. I'm a personal finance guru and public speaker. Obviously, as you mentioned, I'm the creator of the Pennies to Pounds platform.
Yeah.
And I'm a co-host on the BBC Five Live podcast, Your Work, Your Money.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Again,
amazing.
Like I said, it's been busy. We're going to do, I know, Jen, do you want to do this? No, icebreaker.
Go on.
A little,
just to warm
little
you up
icebreaker.
A little bit before we get into the nitty and gritty. So, what are we going to do?
Think we should do a would you rather.
Okay.
Just because, I won't, don't worry, we won't.
Make it much of this or that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right,
you guys need to help me.
Take what you want.
This or that. Okay, we'll keep it simple. So would you rather jump off a plane?
What?
Skydiving.
Okay. Oh, okay. You could have said skydiving.
Oh, yeah. Not going to kill herself.
Commit suicide. Like, what's going on?
A little bit.
Okay, like, it's a bit bad.
Okay, let me just clarify. Would you rather skydive for... sorry. Would you rather skydive for $1 million? Yeah.
Okay.
Or would you rather... eat, this is a bit vulgar.
Would you rather
eat just a teaspoon of dog shit
feces
and then win and then get $1 million?
Honey, call me Superwoman because I'm flying out of plane.
Okay,
seriously.
Okay, what about that? Yeah, so like jumping out of plane for $1 million or eating a bit of dog feces for $5 million.
No, the thing is, in life, you can't be greedy. I'll take
the milk. It's fine. I'll take
the $5 million. I would do it.
Just go on a detox.
Honestly,
I'm for a week straight. I can't.
It's worth the $5 million, though.
It's worth it.
Would you rather? It's more of this or that. This or that is. Please hold on. I won't be alone. I know my sister. I know I'm not the only Caribbean in the room now. Yeah.
What country are you from, Kia?
Jamaican, Jamaica.
There we go. Finally, I'm not alone. So, plantain or plantain?
Oh, no.
Plantain.
Okay.
For God's sake.
Let's do it. Yeah. First of all,
for God's
sake. No one asked you for your opinion. Stay over there. Okay. Height or beard? than a guy.
Ooh, height.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We hear that. I'm gonna have to agree with you. You got any ones? You got any this or that?
Movado or Vibes Cartel?
You're such a racist girl. Just talk about. She has Jamaican, and I started doing a Vibes Cartel.
No, for me, Cartel, what way?
That's my guy.
I want to say that's my guy. Okay, oh, one more. Let's do one more. Let's do that. What can we do? Oh, okay, let's do a few more. So. White rice or rice and peas?
White rice. I don't know.
Oh, do you know what? A lot of people say that.
Thank you.
A lot of people say that.
Wow. I prefer white rice.
I think the peas get in the way, to be honest. Yeah, really? For me.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
No.
Rather
it not. Adds the protein to the meal, guys.
Oh, forget
come
the protein.
On.
You know what I mean? In Caribbean, if you don't exactly.
It adds
meal.
Protein, isn't it?
Okay, let's do a Caribbean thing. Boiled dumpling or green banana?
Boiled dumpling.
Okay, cool.
What's green banana?
It's green banana.
It's green banana.
Are you talking about green plantain?
You could boil it.
Yeah.
Green plantain.
It's like, it looks like plantain, it's a green banana.
It's actually a banana.
It's a banana.
It's actually
a
banana.
Yeah, but it's just not nice ripe.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we boil it, you can boil it.
Is it sweet?
No. Not really, no. Yeah.
Caribbeans are very interesting.
No, we don't know.
Whatever. Okay, let's do one last one. Let's do like a fun one. Let's do a, ooh, okay. Vacation in Bahamas or girls trip to Maldives.
Jeez.
Girl trip.
Okay.
I'm here for fun. I mean, like, you go with your partner, yeah. Okay, like
it's true. Right. It's gonna be Buddha.
I'm ready to drink, sober up the next day. Let's go again.
No, it's true.
It's true.
That is okay. That was fun.
That was good.
Okay, so Kia.
Yes.
You are financial literacy, the financial guru. Honestly. Tell us how you got into pennies to pounds. Tell us how it came about. We want to know the backstory.
Okay, so I had always been interested in financial literacy from like school and stuff. Mm. So in school, I was, you know, like in secondary school, so you had that person who was selling.
The sweets for 5p and the
cookies, donuts. Wow. From year 17.
You've always been a hustler.
That's always me. And like, even in primary school, I used to sell scarves. Wow. So whatever I had to sell, I was on it.
While we were selling Scooby D's or those things, we were selling scarves. Oh, yeah.
That was leveled up.
Wow.
I did all that, right?
That's amazing.
That was always me. So I learned from my parents from young how to save, especially because I was bringing in a lot of money from doing all that. And when I tell you, I had money just sitting there. I didn't know what to do with it. So that's when I first opened up a savings account. I remember my first one.
So how old were you when you opened up a savings account?
My mom opened up for me about 12, 13.
Wow.
Bearing in mind, like, I was earning a lot of money then.
That's true.
And it got to the point where my mom started putting it into her account. And then she's like, you know what? You deserve to have your own account.
Yeah.
You see how much you've got. So she got my own. And then got to sixth form. And I went to really, really strict sixth form, right? I went to really, really strict. So most of the focus was on education, but I remember I studied economics and we had only one lesson in my whole entire education. And my economics teacher said, right, I'm going to teach you guys about taxes today because you'll never hear it again. I guarantee you, until you need to start like paying it, you'll never hear about it again.
That's amazing.
And I remember that lesson, I was the most engaged I've ever been in my life. I was literally taking our notes and that was not even part of what we meant to learn.
Wow.
So I find it so interesting. And then I got to university and even though I had these, you know, good money habits already, I found myself into some debt because I was getting student loan, but it only just covered my rent.
Yeah.
So I had no money to live off.
Yeah.
I was working, but that money only lasted like a month.
Yeah.
I didn't have much money. And my dad didn't want to give me money. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time,
when it seemed like it was harsh. Yeah.
I said, my dad hates me. He doesn't care for me. And I moved away from home. So I lived in Coventry. Okay. I was like, the man hates me, blah, all this. And now I can look back and be
like,
so found myself in that debt. Because I ended up taking some of my rent money to live off.
Okay.
So I had to pay it back.
You had to pay it back.
Even when I asked my dad to pay it, he said, no, you'll thank me for it one day. So I worked, hustled, got the money, paid it back. Cool. Then you'd think I would have learned. Second year came. Better now because I've got a job. I was working in London, so I was commuting every weekend, but I had better money because you get paid more.
Yeah.
But then I ended up applying for a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I applied. I thought the application didn't go through. I applied for another one the next day. Both went through.
Oh my god!
Both with a 1K limit. So I blew. I maxed out both in uni.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Because I was just like, I've got extra money.
Literally, because it is basically extra money. Yeah, obviously not yours, but
of course. But again,
you don't think that far.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, max those out, but then ended up paying it all back, learned that lesson. And I was pretty good. I mean, some people may see that as like, oh my gosh, that's really bad. But in general, I knew how to manage money. It's just like, I got so tempted by the extra money. Yeah. Yes. Cool. And then I had a friend who had, there was like a group of us, and everyone but myself got pulled into fraud.
Wow.
So it was the temptation of having an extra 5, okay. 10, yeah. was telling you.
That's yeah.
And even I'm telling my friends, don't do it. It's not worth it. I get it. I know we're all kind of struggling financially, yeah, but don't do it.
Yeah.
No one listened to me. And then one of my friends, she gave all her details. And the boys, she had 3 grand that her parents set aside in an ISA account, and they took all her money.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So from there, I realized, you know what? We actually don't get taught this.
We don't.
So then, obviously, my curiosity carried on. I started teaching myself, started learning. And then I started what initially was called Life Lessons with Kay. And that was on YouTube. But as you can imagine, young people don't really go onto YouTube. It's cool. So that was in 2018. I put that to the side. I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to give up on it. I'm just going to pause it for a minute.
Yeah.
So I went down so many different routes. I was doing graphic design at one point. I was doing hair coloring. I did so many different things. Wow. Trying to explore what I liked.
Yeah.
And then October last year, so October 2019, was when I made a thread about Help to Buy ISA.
Yes.
I remember that one.
Yes.
Was that, when was that again?
October last year.
I can't believe that was
only last year.
And so much has happened since then. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, that's crazy.
I know. So October last year, I made that thread, ended up going viral. And let me tell you this, I was at work.
Yeah.
So I used to work at Apple when I was, I remember I made the tweet, I made it on the train. I remember on the train there, made the whole thread, and then I posted it in our meeting. So I remember I clicked tweet, and bearing in mind, at that point, I had like 800 followers. So I was like, okay, if about 10 people like it, then that was it. And I only did it because a lot of my friends who knew I did Life Lessons okay before were like, can you help explain what helped my eyes?
So
I should get one, but should I get one? I thought, like, okay, cool. And I made it with the intention of screenshotting it to put it on my Instagram because I had a bigger follow on Instagram. So obviously I did it, and I was like, okay, my lunch break, I'm going to screenshot it and put it on my Instagram. Came back to my phone. So while we were working, didn't have my phones on us, so I didn't have it. 4 hours later, came back to my phone on my lunch break. I just saw my tweet was at like 10K reach. I was like, what's going on? I had like 70 DMs. I said, whoa.
Wow. Hold up a minute.
Goodness. And I didn't realize at the end of the thread, I said, if you have any questions, DM me.
You wasn't expecting viral. That. Yeah.
Because I don't have many followers.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it kind of went from there. Then people asked me, okay, so what's the last time I saw? So I made that thread. And then it was like, okay, but what's this? And I was like, okay, this is critics. And then from there, I think within a week or two of that thread, I said, you know what? I need a dedicated place to put this.
Yes.
That's when I created Pennies to Pounds.
So it kind of happened by accident or purpose in a way.
Yeah, because I mean, it's always been my passion. I didn't intend for that to happen
at that point.
And sometimes things happen like that. You don't intend for you know, that simple tweet that your friends asked you to do to go viral, but it did. And look at you now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the fact you had so many DMs just goes to show that we all want to know about financial literacy. Like, we're not taught this. That's why we're itching to know more.
And we want
to
know. And I think what is important is that it's not just that we want to know, it's the fact that I always say to the girls, when we're putting out like call to actions, is in regards to, okay, you know, information out there that we want people to use, make it easily accessible for them, make it easily digestible.
Because you know, we're lazy.
Like, you know, it's like I could say, oh, read this article, and then you go on, you press the link, you got to put a password in, you made it easily accessible, and also the information was broken down that people were able to just digest it. I think that's what I love about Pennies to Pounds. It can be a tedious subject, finances, but you've broken it down in a way that literally teenagers can digest it, older people can digest it, any age. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah,
thank you.
So what about your parents? Like, what were they the example that you had in regards to finances? Because let's be honest, like, a lot of our parents, we either, it's not that they're bad, you know, examples, but it's even the conversation just hasn't, it never happens. Or some of them aren't great examples.
Course,
so
yeah.
What were your, what was it like growing up in the house finances?
For me, I'd say I had a great upbringing in that sense in terms of finances with my parents. I know that prior to me being born, my parents found themselves in loads of debt because they were young, when they were together. They got themselves in loads of debt, but my dad worked to pay off his debt and my mum's debt.
Wow.
So then it was when I came, then my brother came 5 years later, it was, I'm not going to let our kids go through what we went through.
Yeah.
So all I had was the example of, so like in my family, my dad was one of the first people to own a property.
Amazing.
So I've always been used to, of course, I want to own my own house because my dad's got, he's got multiple properties now. So I'm like, I'm going to be like my dad. So thankfully I've had that positive outlook on finances and he's always been very clued up. And he's like, you need to do this, this, this. You should start saving. I remember he started telling me you need to save for a house when I started uni. He's like, yeah, you need to
do that. Yeah, yeah. That conversation was, yeah. No, I wasn't thinking about that.
You see what I mean? But at every point, at every milestone, my dad said, right, this is the next step for you. You need to start thinking about this. Now you're 16, you start thinking about that. Now you're 18, you start thinking about that. And even now I finished uni, he's like, so...
What's happening?
He's
that's really good that you've got someone that kind of holds you accountable. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah. That's like, really good. You don't really hear about that much with in general. Yeah, especially let's be honest, black.
Especially
parents,
exactly. That's
let's be
thing.
Honest. And I know your platform is mainly aimed at, you know, helping people of color, or black people.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
to, you know, better their finances.
Yeah, I mean, Penny's Pounds is obviously for
of course,
but.
The heart of it is
for the black community. Because I feel like we're the most disadvantaged in the terms of obviously our history and everything. Yeah. Going back, if you want to talk about that, cool. Yeah. But in terms of right now, there's not much talk about generational wealth. It's like, where I'm good
this
now.
Is it.
I'm okay
generation
now.
Worth. Yeah.
I'm not thinking about the future. I'm not thinking about my kids per se. Yeah. As long as I live a good life now, then my kids can figure it out on their own.
Exactly.
You
know,
but then you look at other races and they've got their kids in their will.
The Chinese, the Jewish.
Asians. Have you noticed Asians, all these corner shops, is all owned by them.
They really take care of themselves.
They put each other on.
The baddest thing is they're all not only owned by a certain demographic, but you see, there's 10 shops. They're all family.
Yeah, they're all family.
There's 10 shops there. Yeah. Because they don't mind, because that's their cousin or their sister or their brother.
I'm telling you.
And then you've got the Jewish community as well. You have obviously the white community as well, you know. So you're right. And I think that's important that, you know, black people have a safe space to go to.
Exactly.
They don't feel judged as well by the decisions they've made or their parents have made. Yeah, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
There is another question I want to ask. This is actually my question.
Okay.
Yeah. So, social media. We know what social media is like.
Yes.
We know that, you know, people have this cancel culture.
Yes.
We have a culture of just people are so impressionable. They don't know what they're talking about, but because someone has said something, they'll just jump on and be like, let's look for who we can attack today.
So I hate Twitter.
So obviously you have a huge platform. Mm-hmm. People are always going to criticize. You know how it is.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? I'm sure you've been criticized before on social media.
Yeah, I'd say there's probably two significant times in this year that I've been doing it.
Yeah.
That I've been dragged, so to speak, that I've been cancelled. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The first time, I remember I was so emotional.
Yeah.
And I got
so
upset. I remember calling my dad crying.
Wow.
Because to me, I was just like, it's almost like, I think what happened was, I made a tweet and it was misinterpreted. Okay. So whoever misinterpreted it, you know, like as you said,
they
push a narrative and all of a sudden it's like she's bad.
Yeah.
And I had
people don't want to ask questions.
Right.
Just
and
ask
then I had my friends and people who follow me who were like, well, no, you took it the wrong way. That's not what she meant. But it already blown up into a storm by that time, right?
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't understand. Like I set up this and it was all, it was primarily black people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, in my head, I was like, are you trying to cancel someone who's literally pushing and pioneering for the community to make sure that we have the knowledge and the wealth? So the first time, I was very distraught and very upset.
Mm.
Second time, again, I mean, I don't think it ever gets easier per se.
Mm.
I just think you learn how to manage it better.
Yeah.
And I think the second time affected me more than it should have because it happened during lockdown.
Right.
So because...
there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And I found myself on my phone 24/7.
Trying to see what people. What was it? If you don't mind going back into it.
It was.
I don't remember that.
It was one of. So you know, at the time when they were pulling up big influencers for different tweets.
Yeah.
So they pulled me up for a tweet which wasn't derogatory.
Yeah.
But the way they tried to spin it.
Yeah.
So obviously everyone who saw it was just like, but she didn't mean like that.
Yeah.
But then some people were just like, oh, how could she say
that? Yeah.
I was like, number one, obviously, I was really young. I was like 13. Number two, it wasn't even rude. When I read it back, I was like, there's
nothing
I didn't say anything wrong.
When people are set on
I think people were just already on the hype trying to cancel
They were going ham finding people.
Exactly.
Because
I know for me, I've always loved being a dark-skinned woman. So I'm like, I know for a fact I would not have said anything to belittle, you know, my community. So when the tweet came out, I was like, it's not even bad. But because of who I was, people were enjoying tearing me down.
That's exactly it.
For me, I think that was more of a wake-up call to be like, I think at that point, I was very relying on social media in terms of almost, I think I almost fell into a place of my validation came from people saying you're doing amazing, from people saying, oh, I love your content.
Mm.
And I was just like, you know what? That has just woken me up. And I'm on my phone, I'm on social media, but I'm not anywhere near how I was before at all. And I think it's just, it's just a place of, because people cancel you one day, then they love you the next.
And this is it.
Yeah. 1 week, everyone hated me because of the tweet I apparently said. Then the following week, oh my gosh, she's doing
it.
Thank you so much for this content. Mm. And it's just kind of like, you know what? As long as I know that I haven't done anything wrong. Mm. As long as I know that I'm putting out good content, then it's just, you just have to just kind of move
Wow, that's really good. Wow. So how do you like maintain your mental health? Especially during this period, and especially as, like you said, a lot of people are on social media.
Yeah.
Mm. And unfortunately, there is a lot going on. Yeah. So how do you, is there like any tips that you do for yourself?
I mean, I definitely limit my time on my phone now. So I limit my time on social media. Very important. Sure.
Yeah.
Some people go to extreme with deleting the apps. I don't think I'll delete the apps, but I am aware of how long I've been on it.
But you're disciplined.
Nowadays, I take myself out for walks. Obviously, now we can go out a bit more. This is obviously lockdown when we couldn't go far.
Yeah.
But now you can take yourself out somewhere, so I'll go for a walk. And I just kind of just, I think I like to see people more. So before, it's almost like, so like I said, when the tweet happened, it was almost like I was in a place of isolation where I can't see anyone. I can't really talk to people And now I'm by myself. I can't even leave the house really because I'm not meant to leave the house.
Yeah.
So I just kind of just make sure that I'm out of the house, kind of do things. And I look after myself. Good. I just say, you know what? Today I don't feel self-care. That great. Because sometimes we have our ups and downs.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't feel that great today. So today I'm going to take time out and I'm going to do this. I'm going to, I want to change my hair today because that's what makes you feel
better.
Exactly. I'm going to do a face mask and just relax today.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be, that's what I try and implement. That's
amazing. And what I really want to know is, since you've been, you've started with your, with the platform, and even before, you don't have to go into detail, but were there any issues that you've come into in regards to money with family or friends?
Mm-hmm.
Because people know that, you know, you're good with money. Are there, have there been situations where, you know, you have, maybe if it's not friends, like, can you give me, do you find people pulling on you a lot financially because of the place that you're in?
I'd say yes. Mm. More so, I mean, do you know what? Sometimes I find that I've been out with some friends before, and it's almost like, well, you know, Kia's got money, so she can kind of.
Wow. I'm not surprised at that, though.
I don't like people assume. No, don't assume. Make that decision for me. If I haven't opened my mouth
don't
make decisions with my money.
I mean, I'm always a generous person before this anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm more like to be like, oh, it's all right, this is on me, or like, let's go out here, but don't worry, I'm paying for it. But I find it's more of like a given. I know definitely family. So I have some family who I'm not super close with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no issue, but I'm not just super close with them. And I saw them at a reunion.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just like, oh yeah, Kia's doing amazing. She's gonna buy us all houses. She's gonna do this. And I was thinking, honey, I'm buying the people houses who have been here.
Yeah.
Please.
Because I can imagine I see it from like the only examples I can really use is like maybe I guess we all have it in let's be honest, I was going to say celebrities, but it's not just celebrities. There's members in my family and other families that I see where there's always one or two people that are more financially stable than others.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family really pulls on them. Is that a lot of pressure that you feel?
I think it makes it even worse because in my family, my dad has been the person for his sisters.
Okay. Yeah. His
siblings, the person who's always got money, who's financially stable. And now it's like...
Do you have siblings?
I work one brother, But now it's almost like in my family, oh look, now his daughter's financially stable as well.
Yes,
so now
they're right.
Like, yeah. It's almost like it's just us in the family who have the money. So if you need anything, so obviously he's for my sisters.
Yeah.
For his sisters, for my aunties. And then it's me for like my
cousins.
Let's go out, but you know. Wow.
But so how do you implement boundaries? How do you
say I ain't paying? I just tell them, pay. You better have your money.
Yeah.
Whether or not I have money is not in discussion.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. If you know me, then you know I'm the person who's frugal. I'll tell them, I'll get a discount here. We're doing this, but I can get a discount.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, because at the end of the day, the only way to keep money is to make sure that you actually spend it.
Exactly.
I'm not wanting to spend it just because I have the money.
Yeah.
I will spend. Be smart about it.
I can be big, rich in this country and I'll still be like, oh, you guys are shooting this car.
But that's the way to get money, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Money, 100%. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And what you spoke about it before in regards to like you were in debt in uni, would you say that was the moment, like that's been the biggest regret that you've had in regards to finances? I mean, you've learned a lesson from it. It's actually good because the platform you have now, I think it's good to speak from experience so that you can relate to people.
Of course.
But has there been any like financial decision you made and you just been like, what the heck did I just do? Or like, ugh, this was bad.
I know. I think not. I try and live my life through lessons, not regrets. I decided that a couple of years back.
That's a good way to think about it.
So I think that was probably not the wisest decisions I've made in life. But I think the dumbest thing I've done, which I think I would look at it and I was like, you were so dumb. It was my best friend's birthday in first year of uni.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go to Amsterdam. We booked it. I spent like £600 in this year. And it's all holiday. Cool.
Gosh.
But Amsterdam, that's around the corner.
Yeah, I know. But whatever she wanted
like
to do.
Like spending money, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Of that, yeah,
yeah,
I did up. £600,
okay. Cool. So I've come down. This is when I was in Coventry. So I've come down. Mm. Do you know, since when she's in the pod? So I was in Coventry, yeah? My boyfriend at the time was with me.
Yeah.
And we got into a huge, heated argument whilst I'm packing. I remember chucking things in my, in my suitcase, everything. We got into a huge argument. And then we had to come back to London together.
Oh,
we
awkward.
We had to come back together in silence. Yeah. Then we finally made up as we're partying, cool. And then I went to her house, my best friend's house, with her boyfriend and everyone who was going. And as we go, everyone's like, yeah, Kia, just checking, like, we've got everything. Everyone's just like, yeah, you got this, you got that, you got your passport. And I was like, yeah, yeah, so okay, can we get your passport together? I'm looking. I said, I don't have my passport.
You left your passport?
No. I left my passport. And the thing is, they would have driven to Coventry and back if I told them about 2.5 hours earlier.
Oh,
but because I didn't realise, I was just like, oh,
so wait, you didn't go and you spent all that money?
Yeah, I went back to Coventry.
Oh my gosh.
I called my dad at like 4 a.m. I said, I'm coming home. He said, I swear he's going on holiday.
Oh,
I said, yeah, I got my passport.
Wow.
And
then, like, that's painful.
Yeah.
That must have been so painful.
So I'm watching the snaps, I'm watching everything, everyone in Amsterdam. I said, yeah, I'm dumb. I didn't have my passport on me. And I was like, and I got back to Coventry, it was on my bed. It was on my bed when I got back.
Wow.
I was like, yeah.
Because you were so and it's funny, angry. You were heated.
I was so angry.
And that's funny because it's not even directly about the finances, it was more so about how you weren't careful around,
you know. Why did I get this argument? Because me, like, if I was by myself, I would have double checked,
Really, okay, I'm going to talk about it.
But because I was so angry, I just threw everything in. I was like, I'm going, whatever. £600 down the drain.
Oh my goodness. But anyways, it was a lesson.
Like, it was a lesson.
Exactly.
Lesson, not regret.
Yeah. Got a question. So, actually, let me just set out the scene. So, it was my birthday a couple of months ago. Yeah. And one of my friends, so I invited my friends and everything. And one of my friends actually said, actually, I can't come because I can't afford to come. And it just got me thinking, like, I remember there was a time where a lot of people wouldn't want to vocalize or want to say, actually, I can't afford it, but would go out of their way to try and make it and get themselves into debt and all that kind of stuff. What would you say to someone who either doesn't have money, enough money, or is struggling with their finances, or, you know, whatever that's going on with them, and they get invited to certain places or they feel like they're pressured to go to certain places, like maybe influencers, for example, because I know there's a lot of influencers.
Some of them don't have as much money as you
think. Don't have a lot of money. Like, all of that stuff is gifted. It's not money. Yeah. It's just clothes and items and all that kind of stuff. So what would you say to someone who feels pressured to do certain things for financial reasons?
I would definitely just say, be honest and open, because I've realised now in the last year that I've been doing this that my friends have been more open to talk to me about finances.
Nice.
Regardless, and I've had friends in who are doing amazing, who got amazing savings, and I have friends who are in 6K debt. I've got the whole spectrum in my friendship group.
Wow.
But they know that it's better to have the conversation and say, you know what, I can't do this right now. Or do you know what, I actually need to pay for this debt. So I actually can't afford to go out. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm staying at home because my money needs to go and pay into debt. Whatever it is, it's just being open and just realising, you'd be surprised who may be in the same situation as you, but oh my gosh, you're doing the same.
No, it's
Oh my gosh, I'm struggling too. I have no clue. When you start talking about finances and say, you know what, I really want to do this. I tried to save, but I dipped in. Or like, you know what, because of the pandemic, I've had to use all my savings up and I just don't know how to start again. People like, oh my gosh, you too. Oh my gosh, same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of open up with those dialogues or saying, you know what, the first time I got a credit card was right now because I lost my job and I had no money. So now I've kind of racked up £500 on my credit card and I have to pay it back. But it's just
having that conversation.
Yeah, just having a conversation. Yeah. You realize that you're actually A, not weird, and B, that there are people around you who actually want to help you and try and be like, oh, yes, all right, I'm the same, but blah, blah, you should try and do this. Or even, like, obviously, when people talk to me, I try and give them a plan of how to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just knowing that no one's going to judge you. Yeah. Well, if you're friends, they should.
I was going to ask you, do you feel like people were ever intimidated to talk to be honest and vulnerable about their financial situation because you're the financial guru?
I think Do you know what? I used to think yes, but some of the DMs I get, people were just staring
me. Probably they see as their black sister, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm happy, but yeah. that was the whole point. That's always what I want. I want honest conversations. So yeah, if we're talking exactly, about debt, yeah. let's be honest about yeah. the debt we're in. Yeah. We're talking about saving, let's be honest. You know what? I'm saving, I just can't really keep it in there. Yeah. Whatever it is, let's just talk because there aren't many. There's loads of platforms which talk about money, but I feel like a lot of them are always for, yeah, you should invest. And like, look at my investment portfolio. Yeah, I've got 10K in there, blah, exactly. blah. As opposed to saying, you know what? I started investing. I only put in like £5 a month.
Let's just be real. Like, let's be real. Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's the need to, and the want to be like a role model and say, look at me, I've got all this money invested, for example, and this is my portfolio. Look at my big returns. I'm on like 15K. Mm. And then there's, for me, where I'm kind of at is like, but I'm talking to regular people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yes, while there's an odd person who can afford to do that, most people are just like, I want to start investing, but I haven't got, I've only got maybe £100 to spare for the year to invest. How can I do it? Can I still do it? And it's just like, we're talking to normal people.
Yeah.
Well, my platform's aimed at normal people, so let's have normal conversations.
Yeah, and I love the fact that those type of conversations are becoming normalized. Yeah. I think it's so important.
Because it used to be such a taboo talking about
money,
like, or salary and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But now people are coming up more. Right?
Exactly.
So what's the number one question that you get in your DMs from people?
It's either about investing, so I want to start investing, how do I invest? Mm. Or it's, how do I get out of debt?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think the debt one is.
And do you just give that advice freely, or how does it work?
I mean, nowadays my DMs are like ridiculous. That's probably the worst way to get money.
Wow.
Literally, like, that's the worst place to get me.
Yeah.
And I have even like my friends trying to DM me, and they're like, "Did you not see my DM? My friend DM." I'm like, "Well, why did you DM me?"
So where do you get your most DMs? Is it Twitter, Instagram,
Twitter?
Your Twitter is popping, so I'm not surprised.
Instagram very rarely. You probably have a better chance of getting a reply from
Instagram.
Yeah.
In general, I try and get people to send them through the website because it comes straight to my emails.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
I either reply to the email in an organized way. Yeah, I either reply to the email or I will do an episode of Pennies Pounds where I just ask everyone's questions. So
I love that
episode.
One.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
That's really good. Yeah.
And it's also a good way to get people to listen to your podcast as well.
That's true.
But for me, it's just an easy way because I find sometimes you can reply to people individually, then I get 5 of the same questions.
Yeah.
Like, if I just could say it once, then everyone who needed to know, especially the people who didn't ask me, are able to get their question answered. Yeah. Which is why I just try and do it through that medium.
That makes sense.
We know it's kind of hard times right now. Like, it's been a very difficult year.
Yeah.
Very difficult year financially for a lot of people. And I mean, just off the top of your head, it would be great to hear from you as to what you think this year has been like economically, how this year has gone in regards to, you know, the economy, financially, and how we could work our way around that. How do we stay? For example, you know, I've lost my job. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, someone took out a credit card. You know, someone takes out a credit card because they've lost their job. They can't afford to do this or that. Yeah. What would be your advice like to people who are in that position and, you know, in regards to the economy right now?
Yeah. The economy has plummeted like we've never seen. And I don't think anyone anticipated it. Like, no one.
Yeah.
Even in February, when we kind of had talks of corona,
we didn't think.
And now we have like interest rates where it's like not even worth saving your money.
It's like 0.01% or something.
It's just ridiculous. Like, even there's talks of having a negative interest rate coming
in.
Yeah, so to give you guys a brief explanation, we make sure
please
I'll
do,
say,
yeah.
Right. So negative interest rate will basically mean if you were to take out, if you were to take out a loan or a credit card, the provider will pay you to take it out. If you have a savings account, you will pay the bank to save your money in that account.
Do you know what it is? They're trying to discourage saving.
And then you're going to be encouraged to borrow.
Wow. So what they're trying to do is they're just trying to boost the economy. They want us to spend because they've lost out so much. Yeah, they don't want us to save. That's wicked.
Yeah, so we're literally on the brink of that.
That's crazy.
So the economy right now is not great, and there's still people losing jobs, especially people in the arts.
And then obviously now October, the furlough's finishing.
Yeah.
And they're doing this job support scheme, which sounds a bit crazy. I've heard of it. What advice would you give to people who are in crazy predicaments financially?
If you're in that kind of predicament, number one, what I'd say is if you've had to rely on credit, don't feel bad.
I think don't feel the guilt if you have to rely on credit
to pay for your regular bills, which you could afford before when you had the job, that's all right. We all get into that hardship. Number two, have a look and see if there's any benefits that you can apply for. Again, there's another stigma around benefits. Take the money. Yeah. I've never understood the stigma around it. I'm thinking, mate, if I ever get unemployed, you know I'm jumping on job seekers the same way. Course. I do not even care. Give me money.
My mum used to say, Bianca, if you ever get in a predicament, listen, if you worked, you paid your taxes. Exactly. Your money covered back. Yeah. You paid your taxes. Exactly. Because they'll use your taxes to pay Buckingham Palace. Yeah. And yeah. Exactly. Let it come back to you. Exactly. So yeah, don't feel the shame.
16, so I was thinking, mate, if I have to jump off, I'm going to
do it. Yeah, of course.
So yeah, make use of any benefits there. And in terms of your lifestyle, if you are someone who has unfortunately lost income or lost a job, you are going to have to kind of cut back with some of the luxury that you could afford when you were working. So definitely go through and look at your subscriptions. Even I have had to do it.
I've had to go through. I downgraded from my Netflix.
Honestly, sometimes you join up to this platform and this and this, and it's like £6 here, £5 there.
You actually forget, and the money's coming out.
Exactly,
you're not even using the platform.
And you're not even using it. So yeah, that's a really good one.
Literally, get rid of any subscriptions. Nice. Make use of loyalty cards, because I think people don't do that. The queen of loyalty cards.
When they ask me the tool, I'm just like, I don't have time.
But then a lot of things can be used as money. So you know, like if you're shopping, you know, obviously like Nectar cards,
like points and stuff.
Nectar cards are good.
As points, Lidl just launched a new one. And if you sign up,
yes, they have. You see what I mean?
If you sign up with Lidl, your first £25 shop, you get £5 off, so £20, which is a lot of people. All these things, you'd be surprised, especially if you shop there regularly.
Yeah.
Why not just use it? So make use of that. I would also recommend and say, I think a big place, I saw a stat, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's, don't quote me on it, I think it's like something like 33% of people in the UK are overpaying their phone bill.
Wow.
Because they basically what happens is, you know when their contract, your contract ends, and it's up to you to cancel it. If you
don't cancel it, you will stay on it. Let me tell you a story about that. So I was paying £60 a month for my phone. I had options to upgrade. Yeah, and that's with 30% discount.
Wow.
Let's not even talk about EER.
Anyways.
So I had the options to upgrade or downgrade. So basically going to SIM only. And I was just like, do you know what? I have excess. I'm fine with it. I don't care to have the latest phone. My camera's good. Everything is still working. And now I'm on SIM only, £15 a month.
That's what I'm saying.
£15 a month from £60. So and a lot of people don't know they can do that.
Yeah.
So you'll just be paying. They're chopping your money, but you don't know that you have the option to downgrade to SIM only.
So a lot of it is down to laziness. We don't want to make that call. We don't want to be on hold. We don't want to go and find this email.
Or ignorance. Sometimes we just don't know.
I'd recommend just doing all those kind of things. And just trying to cut back where you can.
So
certain luxuries that maybe you could afford. And obviously I experienced this more so in uni. So certain things I was used to at home when my dad was paying for it. When Q was paying for it.
There's rice at home.
I'll be at my friends who are going to go and get takeaway. I'll be like, anyway, I've got my stir fry. I'm going to get home.
Just
kind of adapting to that. And then as and when income does come back, then obviously you can go back to original lifestyle. But it's having to make those strip backs.
How long do you think this is going to last, this plummet in the
economy? For as long as COVID, from what I've heard, don't quote me on it, but I heard someone say that COVID could be here for another 2 years.
That sounds about right. That it's gonna, you know, it'll come about 2022.
That sounds about right. I feel like masks are here to stay for a while.
Long time.
Big crowds are not gonna be allowed for a while. I don't think they're gonna say, you know, weddings you can have more than 100, 200. I just don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon.
Even if COVID does go away eventually, or hopefully, God willing, will go eventually. For businesses to actually get back to
that's gonna take a long time.
You know how they were before,
especially hospitality and concert venues. It's gonna take a long time. So okay, we're gonna round up, Kia. It's been amazing.
So many gems.
But to round up, we just want you to like give two or three tips. This is just random tips from the top of your head for young people about finances. So say you are sitting in front of a bunch of 18 to 25 year olds. What would you say? Top tips about finances.
I would say start saving now. Doesn't matter how much you're saving. Even for people, I tell them all the time, even if it's like 50p a week, it doesn't have to be a lot, because once your income increases, you've already got the habit. It's about developing that habit. So start saving as soon as you can. Number two, don't get a credit card unless you're disciplined. Obviously that's from personal experience, but in general, don't get one until you're disciplined.
Makes sense.
Because you will blow it. And number three, I'm trying to think. Number three, I would definitely say don't leave retirement and pension as an afterthought.
I've heard you speak about this.
So if you're young, And I know when you're, you know, in your 20s, early, late 20s, you're not thinking about it.
Yeah, it's 4 years off.
Yeah, I'm talking about it in my 30s. Yeah. But when you actually do the maths and work out, if I started in my 30s, how much I'd have.
You'd have, exactly.
It's like next to no money. So the moment you join a place and hopefully it's looking like more long-term for you, and most of them have workplace pensions where another one, your employer will contribute.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're passing up free money. Your employer is saying, I'll give you more money.
Yeah.
It's just it's delayed, granted, but it's more money. It's like, it's almost like the way my dad described it is, it's a pay rise that you're missing because your employer is saying it will give you more money and you're saying, no thanks, I don't want extra money.
Yeah,
because you're not getting it now.
So yeah,
definitely open up a workplace pension. If you're self-employed, get...
I was going to ask about that self-employed.
If you're self-employed, you can literally just sign up for one. Loads of places like Pension Me. Loads of places have their own private pensions.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you contribute yourself. So you say, I'm going to pay £100 a month. Whatever it is, you can do yourself. Because the state pension is like next to their money. It's like £150. Like, depending on how many years you contribute to NI, it's like £150. Every week or month, I can't remember, but yeah, it's no money. So,
Kia, thank you so much.
Thank you. I have a question though, before we end. So, what's next?
What's next
for Pennies to Pounds?
You don't have to tell us everything, but
obviously, don't tell us your secret plans. Yeah. But what's next for you? What else can we expect from you?
I'm trying to try and create more visual content. So, that's what's in the works for me, and that's a big thing for me. I don't know why. I don't know if you guys feel the same, though, you probably don't. I think maybe it's because of lockdown. I feel like visual content has been like, I can't do that. I can't show my face. I can't put my face on camera.
I think I've heard you both saw them say that on Instagram. I think you said that.
Put my face on camera is like a big deal. And it's only recently, all my friends, like on Instagram, I hadn't posted since June and I posted like 2 weeks ago. Well, friends are like, oh my gosh, she's back.
So you don't show your face much.
I really don't. I'm trying to force myself to do it more so to get more like used to it again.
I always say to the girls, it's a different connection when they can identify the face with.
People
in this generation now, where people
we want to know who's behind the business. Exactly. We want to know who.
Yeah, so
that's why I find it so weird. I've been recognized quite a few times. I'm like, mate, I don't put my face anywhere. I think
you feature on things like big up for you, the Guap 30 under 30, which is amazing.
That was amazing.
So I think people see you in features and stuff like that, which I think
so they remember your face.
Yeah, I just have one more question.
Go for it.
You have so many questions.
This is not necessarily to do with the Pennies to Pounds as such, but do you do all of your content creation?
Yes.
How is that? Because girl,
how is that?
The graphics, like is there a passion you have for that? So you enjoy it? Is it tedious? And the thing is, you create content on the go a lot.
Yeah.
Like
you're very consistent.
How do you manage time? Like how long does it take you? How do you deal with that?
Not gonna lie, in the last 2 weeks, because it's been so busy, I haven't been as frequent on my Instagram. Yeah. But in general, you're right, I am really frequent. I think it's half passion, half I just need to get this done. What I do nowadays is I dedicate a whole day to
I'll create.
And it's just kind of like, right, this is my plan. And I'm very, I've never been an organized person, but I'm very organized. So I know something I'm going to cover. I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Mm. I've kind of planned it all in that sense. Mm. Now it's just creating the actual content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do everything. So from...
Did you do your cover, by the way?
I didn't do my cover.
Okay.
That will be another stretch. No. I didn't do my cover. It's amazing. But yeah, so in general, like, I kind of plan everything out and it's just... Yeah, from the podcast to creating the Instagram content to trying to run the Twitter to
that's a lot, emails,
and it's just you like
you need a PA girl.
You do.
Get yourself a PA.
You'll get one soon.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Can you please shout out all your social media platforms and stuff like that, and your website, whatever else you have, so people can know where to find you if they don't know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, Pennies to Pounds is Pennies to Pounds everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, the website is penniespounds.co.uk, where you can find more information and more resources. I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm IKEA everywhere. Yeah. Not the shop.
someone actually said,
IKEA.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, someone was like, oh yeah, like that IKEA girl, and I saw it, and then I remember, like, I realized it was me, obviously, because IKEA the shop. That's where he spelled
it. Oh, she spelled it IKEA.
And then someone replied to me and said, "How do you know it's about you?" I said, "He said finance and IKEA. Who else?
Who else would it be? Literally."
So I'm IKEA, IKEA everywhere.
And if people want to ask you questions, they can go to your website.
Yeah, go to the website and just send me in a question, and I'll get it through.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And awesome. your podcast that you have with BBC.
Yes. So I'm on the BBC Five Live podcast, Your Work, Your Money, which is literally where we answer any of your questions to work, regards to anything, support during COVID, how to save money, how to get out of debt, whatever you can think of, that's what we do. It's on every week. I'm on every 3 weeks. Yeah, it's a weekly podcast. And yeah, it's just a bit of fun. I mean, I really enjoy it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kia. All the best for you guys. Make sure you guys follow Pennies to Pound.
Please follow. Yes. And get your money
in your life.
Come on. Get your life together. If you enjoyed this episode, and I'm sure you did, please leave us a 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
One more time. We'll see you in 2 weeks, guys. Bye.
Bye.